Jack Show, here from sunny Britain. Yes. We've got a new national water sports centre. It's called Somerset. And the warm-up pool is Worcester.
Too soon.
It's funny you say that with three Americans on the show.
Oh, mate, it's monsoon season here, apparently.
Four. There's four.
Wow.
Four. I can tell with Kelly's Portland accent. Sorry.
Can you crate some up and send it over? Send it down here.
Are you in a bit of a dry spell, then, Adam?
Oh my gosh, we're in so much trouble. With this summer is going to be really bad in Southern California if we don't get some rain.
Oh, cool.
with the fires, we could be it could be Dante's down here.
We've got the whole world's water.
It never rains in Southern California.
But boy, the song warns you when it pours, man.
Yeah, I mean they're throwing up signs. They're throwing up signs over the freeway that say like extreme drought, save water. I mean that's the kind of thing that's going on. So
we had a month's rain in the last 2 days.
Oh my goodness!
So yeah, we need some,
and we've got another month's rain coming this weekend. And I'm working nights on a frigging railway.
Oh, cheers!
I might be taking a few cloths with me. Joining me to discuss the week's Apple news, it's a great bunch. We've got a great panel this week. I am the only Brit, however, on the British Tech Network this week.
Yep.
Top left, Adam Christensen, how's it doing, bud?
Hey, good. I'm hanging in there.
You're showing your underpants, mate. We know that you're Superman now.
Yeah, I got my Superman hat on today.
Have we done a countdown to Macworld? Not that I'm excited or anything.
What are we, about 6 weeks now? Maybe a little less?
Well, it's less. See, I'm going to Macworld next month. I can say that now. I'm over the moon, mate. I'm looking forward to it no end. I hope you don't fart much.
No comment.
Okay, good. Have you been good?
Have I been good?
Yeah.
Yeah, why?
No, as in, are you good? Are you happy and healthy?
How are you?
How are you?
I'm That's awesome.
There's a simpler way. Thank you. Next to him, the man who does understand monsoon season, Carl Swagger. How's it going?
It's going well. No rain, actually, over here. It's been quite mild. Doing good.
Oh, well, you lucky git. Global warming's favoring the Philippines.
Actually, we're very lucky right now. Last year was not a very good year for us, so we're hoping 2014 to be a lot better. So.
No. Good. Good. We'll have to have another. I was talking to TJ the other day, and I was saying we need another Filipino Mac show.
Yeah, we need to get TJ back on.
Get TJ on Peanut on, and we need one more from the Philippines, and have a Filipino show.
He's in New Orleans.
Is he
in New Orleans? Yeah, for All Star Week for NBA stuff, because he covers that on the local networks over here. For
right, but so. When he's back, we'll have to get one more Filipino, and we'll have to have a Philippine Mac show again.
We'll do it.
Cool.
We'll do it.
Beneath Kyle. It's Kelly Gamont. How's he doing?
Not bad. How about you guys over there? You're getting a big dose of Portland right now, aren't you?
What's that mean? Wet.
Like, you're getting even a lot of rain by UK standards.
Oh, it's unprecedented, mate. I mean, I went on the train the other week, and I was going through Worcester-y, Somerset-y kind of area, and I looked out the train, and half a mile left was water. And half a mile right was water, and I'm still 60 miles from any sea, so this isn't supposed to be there. It wasn't like, and the only thing that was actually above ground was the railway. That was it, and the drainage must have been fantastic because it was perfect ride. There was no bends or kinks or sways or anything like that. It was good, really good. But no, we're not in a great shape at the minute. And last but by no means least, Tom Merritt,
Land of Drought.
This is your second
guess. Adam. Half of our country is frozen and under several feet of snow, and the other half has no water at all, which you all have.
It's the day after tomorrow scenario.
Yeah. I will point out that as of Tuesday, we were under 6 inches of snow, which was under half an inch of ice. And all of that is gone now. And it generally doesn't snow here that much. And on top of not snowing, we don't usually get ice. So we had all of that earlier this week, and now
you had that. All we're getting is dumping rain. That.
Yeah,
I got to experience one of those one time. I came out; my entire Volkswagen was encased in ice, basically. You could roll down the window and it was like you had on a whole nother window. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I remember.
I know talking about the weather is a cliche, but lately it's just titanic.
It's worth discussing.
Yeah.
It is a news item. Genuinely. Mm-hmm. Now, I went to, I was in Green Bay and they had 6 feet of snow in 2 days. And I've never, ever seen anything like that in my life. And I was, they froze the field at, or the ice the field at Spartans and played a game of ice hockey on it.
Oh, it's
a football field. Yeah, brilliant. The week in Apple, what's been going on? Well, there's loads of stuff about iPhone 6 out there. We'll poo-poo that in a moment, I'm sure. And also, there's a whole pile of other stuff about, I'm making it up as I go along because actually I have no clue what's gone on. I haven't been following the news at all. I've been a bit of a lame-o. So Apple TV is one of the hot topics, I think, that we're going to discuss. Because allegedly, they're talking about the fact that Apple TV is going to have something come along in April that's a holiday launch, still talking with Time Cable, Warner Cable, though, however. And Apple's new vision for Apple TV is less ambitious than before, which is not a good sign, really. But I've got to say...
Well, that depends on who you ask.
Today's the release of House of Cards on Netflix Series 2.
I know. I know. I've been watching the rest of it this week to prep.
This is where Apple's going wrong if they're still dealing with the cable companies or the major producers, I think.
Well, Apple's not a content provider. All they have is the hardware of the Apple TV in order to make a deal with. So, like, Apple and Netflix, like, that deal isn't very... It isn't like when Netflix makes a deal with Disney or anybody else. Apple just kind of goes, you want to put the... on the Netflix goes, yeah, we got a Netflix button on everything else. Why not? And they go, okay. And that's that.
What?
Yeah.
Like, you know, their negotiation is nowhere near as complex as trying to talk to Disney and Marvel. And remember that you can only get some of the Marvel movies because of the distribution. I think half of it's like... Sony or something. Anyway, like, it's a nightmare. And so that's like they're not doing any actual content. So for Apple and Netflix to make a deal is a piece of cake.
But but that's the thing, is Apple should just go the other way and somehow go directly after the content from either the producers, and whether that means they have to take some of that cash and kick in and fund a couple projects to get them, you know, on an Apple platform. Because I think it's going to be a kind of a snowball effect. And I was talking to someone about this the other day, because this is kind of a little bit of what they did with apps. Remember when they first launched apps and they did a whole deal with Kleiner Perkins to kind of fund? They set up a fund, right? So that people who wanted to produce apps had a source that they could go to. I don't know how well it worked out for them, but I mean, it certainly generated some PR and some interest. And I think probably got some of the bigger developers at least paying attention. And I think they could do a similar thing with content producers where, hey, here's a platform, you know, whatever they call it. And we've got all these devices because they have so many screens out there that people are already using. It just seems like they could totally leverage that to, you know, take over that market and get out of having to deal with the dinosaurs who just aren't in it. I think there's a lot of talented people out there that are looking, that have great stories to tell. They have access to the technology to create and produce those stories on limited budgets, and they just need a marketing and distribution platform. And Apple is so primed to set that up and give them audience and eyeballs. And I think Netflix, you know, with their original content, and even to a certain degree, Amazon, who just launched their, you know, they paid to have a bunch of pilots made and are letting
they're doing another pilot season. That's right.
Yeah, and on new shows that maybe they'll potentially fund. I mean, there's lots of ideas.
Hulu's doing originals too. I mean, all the
they can get more.
Really?
Apple needs to get more creative and go outside the box, which is what they're historically really good at. So why aren't they? It just baffles me why they're still. I guess they kind of still need those back end deals for some of the other content. And maybe they don't want to piss those guys off.
I think you could also wrap it up in one word too, and I think it's called iTunes. They need to get out of that realm of, or at least expand the horizons of saying, hey, look, you know, what do you want to do? Do you want to own it or do you want to stream it?
Lose the shop, buy a factory.
Well, yeah. But at the same time, though, you got to be looking from a revenue standpoint also saying, you know, that's also one of the reasons, you know, why they are as big as they are, too. I mean, because I mean, I feel that Apple right now is in between, or in between a rock and a hard place, because you've got streaming, which it seems to be everything's going to, because you've got music streaming, you've got Netflix, you've got Hulu, you've got all these, and you've got Apple still sitting there saying, let's download it. Yeah, fine. You can, once you pay for or buy a rental or something. Yeah, fine. It starts streaming as long as your internet connection is fast enough to do it. But at the end of the day, they really still want you to purchase the content. And I think they need to get away from that. I like the idea of what Adam's saying, you know, create content. They should be setting up something like that. Something that like House of Cards, because God knows they got the money to do it, and God knows they got the platform to do it.
But this is the point, though, isn't it? I mean, you're talking about a company here that can buy 17 B-52 bombers a quarter with their profit. Kevin Spacey is not that expensive,
right?
I'm pretty sure. And no. I mean, if
relatively
you look at
speaking,
well, yeah. Okay. But I mean, he's doing the thing at the Old Vic out of sheer love of acting. He's not. He doesn't mm-hmm. need the cash. He's there, and he's got the Old Vic now. If you look at the posters in the Underground. They've got James Earl Jones in there. They've got Angela Bassett mm-hmm. in there. There's seriously big names in American acting are coming over and acting at the Queen Vic because Kevin Spacey's the chairman or the creative director of the Old Vic, and he is putting in his contacts and he's pulling in a lot of interest and money into that facility. If you take Kevin Spacey or Tom Cruise owns United Artists, if I'm not wrong, those kind of high-profile actors that have got good production backgrounds, Apple's got to, you know, just pull them in and feed off what they've got to offer. Apple could create a fantastic production house, or is that? Mm-hmm. But my question would be: is that just too scary for them? Is that just too far off the beaten path?
I don't know that that's what Apple should be doing, though. That is what Netflix is doing, and what Amazon is doing. They've got a studio right over here in Santa Monica. That's what Microsoft is doing. Xbox is funding documentaries and originals and bringing in Spielberg. I think Apple, as they always have wanted to do, is sell devices. And when you look at the footprint of Apple TVs, it's minuscule compared to Netflix, which is actually still small compared to the 100 million households in the United States anyway that have some sort of satellite or cable television. So what Apple is rightly looking at is the conditions on the ground right now are people want to watch The Walking Dead. They want to watch Game of Thrones. They want to watch Mad Men. And the only way to get that stuff live while it's happening, and a lot of people still want to do that, they want to watch it on premiere night, is to hook up with the cable companies because they have all the leverage over all of this content. Yeah, you can have HBO Go on an Apple TV, but you still have to have a cable subscription to watch it. So I think what Apple is saying is, well, we've tried to strike independent deals and become a cable provider ourselves with the channels. That hasn't worked. We've spun our wheels for 2 years just because of the complexities and the frustratingly antiquated state of content delivery. So the next best thing is to go to a Time Warner Cable and say, all right, what if we become your set-top box and we can deliver this great interface and you can still get on demand from iTunes, you can still get Netflix, you can get Hulu Plus, but we're going to, you know, you can get Sky News for goodness sake, but we're going to add in another app that if people give you a little money, then you'll let us have access to that content. And the question I think it's going to be is, how much is that box going to cost me? And how much is that service going to cost me? Because it's going to have to save me a little money over going to Time Warner Cable directly. Otherwise, it doesn't really make that much sense.
So my only point to that as a comeback, Tom, I think there's two great points there. I think the first one that you made there kind of made me think, we sit and look at Apple and we see Apple the business, when actually Apple probably looks at each of its component products and sees that as a business. So we're sitting looking at Apple TV and going, right, Apple is Apple. And they're going, no, Apple TV is Apple TV, and Apple TV has got to make money by itself, and it's got to stand up on its own two feet, and it can't rely on other things to subsidize it. So if we're going to do this deal, Apple TV's got to fund this studio, not Apple, which is a great point. And the other thing is, in the final analysis of what Apple TV produces, surely what people want from a provider is diversity of entertainment. They don't want core deals. I mean, what you're talking about there, all the time you were talking right at the very end, Tom, I'm just sitting thinking, yeah, but I don't want that. I don't want to deal with a cable provider, a satellite channel, a whatever. I want one what Netflix provides me with, which is a massive diversity of documentaries, films, TV shows, et cetera, et cetera.
I think what Tom is going on about there, though, is trying to grab. If, correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, but you're trying about, because that's the market. There's still not enough cord cutters out there, and that's what we'll call them. There's
nice
still
plug
not
for the show. Nice plug for the show, dude.
Yeah, well, sorry, but there's still not enough. There's still not enough out there to go to that market, to target that market. Although everybody on here would love that. I would love it. I mean, I still can't, even here in this country, I still cannot completely cut the cord. I've tried. Mm-hmm. But I think eventually we'll get there. And I don't know if Apple is trying to take that approach right now to get people into that realm to say, hey, wait a minute, maybe I don't need satellite anymore. I don't need, or I don't need my cable provider anymore. However, though, I agree with you, Ewan. I don't like it that way, because I feel like I'm that kind of person that sits there and goes, I want to buy an Apple TV, period. I don't want to have a freaking subscription to DirecTV or Time Warner or that. That's not the point I want. You know, why the hell am I paying for two services? I just want one. Now, if Apple could somehow have a content deal with Time Warner that allows me just to have an Apple TV, that allows me to have access to Time Warner content without actually having a Time Warner subscription or a separate box to pay for, a set-top box,
The analogy, I think, that's what we're talking about here
is Time Warner Cable becomes one of the apps on your Apple TV, and for a fee, you get access to Time Warner Cable stuff without having to have somebody come to your house, plug in a coax cable, give you a cable card or anything.
That's the case, anyway. If that's the case, then that's a step in the right direction. I don't know if it's completely what everybody would. Well, I don't know if anybody on this panel is completely down with that, but that's a step in the right direction, because there's nothing I hate more. What's that?
It depends on the price to me.
I'd certainly consider it, absolutely.
But do you get the impression, and here's my thought process, that there's a boardroom with Tim Cook's devotees in it and Time Warner's devotees in it, and they're going, no, they've got to pay the same price. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Whether they have a box or not, they've got to pay the same price. And you're like, well, hang on, they haven't got to pay the same price.
We have to make the same margin. So whatever that cost is that goes into delivering this to Apple TV,
I think their
profit on top of that has to maintain the same or grow.
I think that's giving them too much credit, Tom. Because I think they're going, we get a $60 subscription now if we give them a box and we maintain it, et cetera, et cetera. And we want a $60 subscription if they go on Apple TV.
Well, you may have described why there hasn't been a deal done.
Yeah.
This is exactly what it is. Internet equals piracy. This is the reason that none of these people have any of this kind of mentality, because these are TV people, and the TV people don't remember anything about what went down 15 years ago with Napster. Oh my God, I can't believe that was 15 years ago.
And the rest?
They don't remember any of that. They didn't go through any of that. They didn't suffer any of that stuff. So... They have no knowledge, no memory, no nothing. And to them, it's all this new, weird, scary. All I know about the internet is people use it to steal. Well, let me tell you something. It's a lot easier for me to steal a movie and put it in my DVD player and watch it than it is to sit through a Blu-ray advertisement on a Blu-ray disc that I can't watch unless I put it in a Blu-ray player that's hooked up to my TV.
I think this irks me,
but the two big things I think right now, a lot of people aren't cutting the cord because of sports. That's true. There's not comprehensive sports. And let me tell you a story about the adorable American tradition of blackouts when it comes to sporting events. Okay. Hear everybody chuckling. They know what I'm talking about. My dad is actually caught in this because he lives within a certain number of miles of the Portland Trailblazers. So he doesn't live within the blackout area, but because the only television provider is within the blackout area, which is here in Portland, he's not able to get the games that show on TV because
don't they have to be full in the stadium?
Well, that's the thing. Sometimes.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a broadcast blackout. Not, she's talking about getting it online versus.
Oh, right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, There's the whole blackout thing, which I think in some cases is being solved by things like the what's the baseball one? At-bat, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I think At-bat's doing a good job of that. There's hockey on there now. I don't know that there's a football equivalent, and basically everybody I know watches football. So that would be the one that I think, if they could make that deal, would be good. But here's what I think has been interesting about all of the hand waving about Apple TV this week. Has anyone noticed that none of this has had to do anything to do with an Apple, with Apple making a television?
Right.
Everything has been excruciatingly clear about Apple's set-top box, Apple's device, Apple's existing device, Apple's existing device doing something new, Apple perhaps creating a new incarnation of the set-top box, the set-top box, the set-top box. That's the thing that they've been beating into everybody's head, is this is not a television, which to me is the part that's really interesting, because how long have we been watching them beat that dead horse?
I think that was a dig at you, Swagger.
I know. I was about ready to say, why the hell are you bringing that up, Kelly?
No, I'm bringing it up because I don't know if anybody's heard from Gene Munster in the last week, and I'm wondering if he's okay.
Do you owe her $20 as well?
I don't know what the hell to say about it anymore. If I say anything about Apple TV is still coming, then people say I'm crazy and I should be committed, which are probably true anyways. But at the same time, if they cannot get content, if they can't get content deals, as in if you put a television up, you set it up, you plug it in, that's your TV already. If they cannot do that, then there's no point in making a TV. If they're trying to go the Time Warner route or DirecTV route or whatever they're doing, then it doesn't matter. If they could do it the other route, then there's a place for a television. And maybe that's what they wanted to do, and it has not gone their way yet. So hence no television set. However, though, it would be, I have to put on this what Kelly was saying about football content. If Apple, and this is just purely for an American market, if Apple could get the NFL rights to get on Apple TV, if they could do that. And
are you talking about exclusively or just passing?
Not exclusively, just to get it on Apple TV. And if NFL could get completely out of bed with DirecTV, I really wonder how many people would go out and buy an Apple TV box in the United States. Because I know a lot of people that said, forget it. I don't need DirecTV anymore. With League Pass, when League Pass got on there for NBA, a lot of people said, I don't need my television provider anymore.
Yeah.
They're happy with it. If they could get the NFL rights.
Watch basketball, but football's, I still think football's the biggest in the U.S. I'm going to need actual sports ball watchers to prove me wrong on that, but.
No, you're correct, Kelly. It's the biggest thing compared to all the sports combined, NFL is, so U.S.
And I think the NFL DirecTV deal is supposed to have ended, or is supposed to end 2015, at the end of the 2015 season.
Okay, so a year from now, at the end of the Super Bowl and all that.
Yeah, so there's one more year where NFL Sunday Ticket is on DirecTV, and then it ends. But it looks like I'm finding a story from December that they agreed on a framework for negotiations to renew the contract. But it doesn't look like they signed it yet. So I don't find any evidence that they actually have agreed, but they're talking. But a lot of people have said, yeah, Google, Apple, even Amazon could waltz in and throw down a ton of cash at the NFL and say, we're going to be the provider for your Sunday Ticket stuff.
And also think back, remember when we got the Tim Cook interview, was it on Rock Center? Where he was talking about how TV was an interesting problem and he thinks they have a way to crack it. I think he may have intentionally or otherwise misspoken. And I think it wasn't TV that was the issue. I think it's cable. At least I want to believe that it was cable. And I want to believe that even more, having found out that the big news in the States this week is that Time Warner and Comcast want to make some sort of unholy alliance.
Oh, it's a Valentine's Day miracle.
No, it'll be a Valentine's Day miracle if they...
When it should have been a shooting. Go,
but yeah.
A massacre.
What everybody said on Twitter was like all the Comcast customers were like, oh, you're merging with Time Warner. Well, Time Warner can't be any worse than Comcast. And all the Time Warner customers were saying, oh, you want to merge with Comcast? Well, I guess it can't be any worse than Time Warner. And it scares me that we both might be terribly wrong.
Yeah, see, I think they're pretty much the same, from what I could tell.
I carried on the European tour for a while, and one of the things that always amazed me there was, no matter who has the coverage, it's a single company called European Tour Productions who make all of the coverage. You have what they want to give you. You have the you have the cuts from shot to shot that they want to give you. They'll whisper in your commentator's ear which shot's coming up, but when it comes down to it, they decide which game they go to. They decide who, and I'm sure the broadcasters are coming and going, we want to follow this person a little bit more, please. Can you send a cut out? And there you go. But each of those sports, FOM, European Tour Productions, PGA Tour Productions, NFL Tour NFL Productions, etc. There'll be a uniform firm that sell out the coverage. But the thing you've got to get away from is them saying, right, who wants to buy this? And if you were talking about a market stall, they'd be going, okay, you have some, you have some, you have some, you have some. You want 10, okay, here's 10, and you give me 10 times the cash. But that's not the way it's sold. It's sold on the basis of, I have this product, who wants it? You want it, okay, how much are you willing to give me? All right, okay, here you go. And then that person goes, no. I will pay you X amount more because you will not sell it to any of the other people that are lined up here. You'll only sell it to me. And that's where the problem comes. Exclusivity breeds piracy. I remember going several years ago, there was 50 advanced copies of Taken at the local Blockbuster. I'm going back 3 years, 4 years perhaps. And I said to the wife, that'd be great. I'm going to go up and get one of those. And I stood in the queue and I was 55. So there was another 40 people behind me. So 50 people walk out with a copy of Taken to watch tonight. And 40 people walk out and do what? Go, oh, shucks.
Avast, matey.
There's the problem. The companies that are buying it and saying you will not sell it to the rest are the ones that are killing entertainment, full stop.
Yeah, like the Redbox deals and how, because that's a thing now that we have is Redbox, this rental service, it's like a little kiosk and it's in McDonald's and it's 7-Eleven and whatever. And you go up and it's like $1 a night and you can have a movie as long as you want to, but it charges you like $1 every day that you have it. And somebody who I can't remember now started doing things where like you can get it on Netflix or you can get it at Redbox 30 days before you can get it on Netflix or 30 days before Apple TV. And everybody's like screwing with release dates now to try to force you to go to wherever it is that they've made the deal. And this is another one of those things where like the exclusivity is dumb. And particularly as pipes get larger and piracy gets easier, like it is seriously less hassle for me to go obtain a copy of a film than it is for me to go out to 7-Eleven and rent it. You know, particularly earlier this week when everything was under ice, it would have been a piece of cake to get one, obtain one through less than entirely legal methods and watch it in my house.
And
the thing is, like, that is everybody who is making these deals. That is their nightmare. They think that everyone, now I understand why they're scared. They think everyone is me.
I'm scared.
To be fair, the number of people who are holding that belief from 10 years ago is diminishing. It's not gone by any stretch.
Not by much.
People like the head of HBO out there saying, you know what? Piracy is a compliment. And when people share the logins for HBO Go, we don't really mind all that much because we know that that's going to end up creating more subscribers. So there are a few people who are talking a little sense. I guess all I'm saying is there's a glimmer of hope as the old guard starts to retire, that people who actually understand this and how it works will have more influence in that industry.
So just to come back on that.
It's just a pain in the neck.
No, Kelly, it's my turn. It's my turn now.
I was done.
See, you and no getting so many smart people on the same show anymore. We got to have, you know, people who don't know stuff. Let's just get random people off the street, some hobos.
Yeah, you damn straight. I ain't putting four colonials together again ever.
Wait, so to get back on track, my keep point us is down, Ewan. In internet time, it's really frustrating to have to wait for all those guys to time out.
See what she did there? See what she did there? It was still my turn and she still talked.
So say what you have to say. You've got all of our attention.
This is my
here we are now. Entertain us.
Oh, what the hell's happened to the coverage? Jesus Christ. There we go. Right. This is my iPad. This is my friend. No, this is my iPad. And this has got a green screen on it, so it's sod all use. Jesus. But basically, I have Sky Go on here, and Sky Go is Sky Sports and all of the Sky channels, which are our Time Warner Cable in the UK here. You can start it up and you can watch all of the stuff that they put online for you. And there's not a lot, it has to be said. So with a standard Sky subscription, you get two of these. So I can put it on my iPad and I can put it on my laptop. Now, if I want to put it on another device, that's fine, but I have to cancel one of these two. If I want more devices, oh, I can pay extra for that. That's fine. No problem at all. But here's the thing. I'm sitting going, well, actually, for the next month, I'd, I'm not going to be in the office much. I'm going to be out on the road. So I want to deactivate this one, and I want to include my iPad Air. No, sorry. Sorry, you can only make one change a month.
Right, because otherwise, it would be piracy.
So I can have two authorized devices, and you let me switch those out for 2 years without a problem. But now, all of a sudden, I can't change more than one per month. Jesus Christ.
Well,
you know what? Shove it up your ass.
I can understand why they do that, but I don't agree.
Well, it's the same thing as anti-piracy, right? They're worried that if they let people switch more than two devices or one device a month, that everybody will just start sharing out their logins and then no one will ever buy a Sky subscription. But right. The fact of the matter is, all you're doing is punishing the law abiders, because the people who are likely to do that are likely to find other means anyway.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There we go.
Yeah.
Good conversation.
As long as we're on pet peeves, can I bring up the...
I just want to point out, Adam, you started that off and walked away. You lit the blue touch paper and then retired.
I did.
That was a total firework, dude.
It was a slow walk from Adam.
The other one that me is the delayed rental. So they release a new movie on iTunes, because I'm a huge iTunes rental person. And the missed revenue they get from me is they release a movie. I'll go, oh, I wanted to see that. I don't want to own it, but I really want to rent it. I go see that it's not available for rental, and then I forget about it, and I don't come back to it. So all they really did was, I don't know if their idea is they're going to force me to buy it or what, but that tactic never works on me either.
Your failing memory is Apple's fault.
We're all getting older, right? I don't think it's just me.
About failing memory, it's just ADD. Like, the amount of incoming information in the world right now is ridiculous. And when you're us, like, we consciously make it more than the average unbelievably overwhelming constant stream of information. All of us have like four of those happening. So of course I'm going to forget about that movie, because 15 other movies are being thrown in my face at every other turn as I go through my day.
Yeah. I just go, sure. Oh, wow. Sherlock's on PBS. I'll watch that.
Don't bother. Yeah. Season 3 is shite. There we go.
Oh,
season 3 of Sherlock. Utter shite. Have you had it yet? Have you had it yet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's bollocks. It's utter crap compared to the first two. And I just want to call another thing, Kelly. I reckon that Fanning and Parker are both grandparents now. So I reckon Napster can't be 15 years ago. Got to be more.
It was super popular when I was working at a company that was trying to do digital rights management. And
I knew she'd throw the "I remember when."
In June of 1999 is when Napster won.
Yes, 99. Yeah.
It started in 99. It was super popular when I got married in 2000, because I was working at that company when I actually got married. So that's the only reason.
Okay.
Called DRM by the right acronym, though. What? Digital Restriction Management.
There you go.
Pretty much, yeah.
There's no rights involved. It's just how
no. Well, there is. It's, we've decided you have the right to exactly what we say and nothing else. And while we're at it, if you want to play that CD in your computer, we're going to install Rootkit for you, because we're helpful.
Yeah, it just brings up bad memories of just how much I really hate Metallica.
It all comes back to Metallica.
And they've got a film out, haven't they? There's a film out with him. Do you want to call BS on the iPhone 6 prototype and move on?
Yes.
BS. Is there anyone that's got anything logical and sensible to say about the iPhone 6 prototype?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, go on then.
There is one coming.
There will be one.
There will be one. Thank you.
It will have a bigger screen. From what I hear, probably a faster processor.
It'll have a lightning
connector. Maybe a better camera.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, yeah.
Better camera.
Then again, you never know with Apple right now. Maybe they just say, screw it. You don't get a camera anymore. Life. You got to buy it separately.
What I want to know is when the iPhone Air is coming.
It's coming. Don't give them ideas. Don't give them ideas.
11-inch Retina iPhone Air.
Pocket GPS. Now, this is a story that you may not be familiar with, but I think it's a good one because this is one of our listeners. PocketGPSWorld.com, they sell an iPhone application which basically has a database of speed cameras that are there so that they're promoting road safety by telling you when the cameras are coming up so you can slow down. And they hold a whole load of other stuff, navigation and that kind of thing. They're having their application removed from the iTunes store on the basis that it has an illegal function, unquote. Now, this application doesn't do a great deal more, I don't think, than Waze or TomTom or any of the standard GPS locator and travel applications. And yet Apple have decided that Pocket GPS has got to come down because it has an illegal function. And it doesn't. It doesn't do anything else other than... I've got a copy of this myself.
Classic app review problem that we've always had, right? It's you get the wrong guy on the wrong day.
But does anything else tell you about traffic cameras?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everything.
Tons of apps.
All of them. Okay. I mean,
I haven't seen that in Waze, which is the only reason I brought it up. I didn't know if it was a unique functionality or not.
Oh, it is, but it's crowdsourced, isn't it?
I call this the new guy syndrome. I think every once in a while they get a new trainee in the app review department and he's like a stickler about the rules, right? Because he doesn't know yet. He hasn't been there long enough. And he just rejects it. I mean, this goes through like one person who opens the app for a few minutes and pokes around. And, you know, if you've just gone through the Apple training and they've hammered in the guidelines to you and say, this is this and this is this and this is this. And, you know, and then he just rubber stamps it and sends off the form letter and then it, you know, blows up. And then comes back and goes, no.
This app's been in there for 4 years already.
Well, exactly. So they probably pushed an update right again, and it went through the new guy. The old guy quit. The new guy's there. You know, this happens all the time. I don't think it's anything huge.
There have been other apps removed for being focused on traffic light, you know, or for cops and traffic light cameras and things like that. It's a question of like, why did Pocket GPS run afoul of that and Waze didn't? Is it the implementation? Were they providing their own data? But I think you're right, Adam. It's just somebody with a stick up their butt one day going like, that's not allowed.
It happens to people constantly, which I find fascinating.
I think what is frustration is the lack of appeals, the lack of genuine openness. Why is it gone? You're doing something illegal. Well, for Christ's sake, tell me.
You're talking about Apple, and you just
tell me what I'm doing wrong. I mean, no. I'm okay if we're getting slapped. I mean, you know, the traffic cop pulls me over and goes, "Do you know you were doing something wrong there, sir?" Mm-hmm. No. Okay. Well, you're going to prison. What did I do? Something wrong.
Never mind that. Off you go.
No, but I mean, was I speeding? It was just something wrong. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't even tell you again. He just walks away.
That's all they've got from this. He's doing something illegal. They don't actually know what it's doing illegal. They don't know which country it's doing illegally in. If someone's complained, not complained. If you're going to take away someone's livelihood, because I know the guy that does this, and this is where he gets his livelihood from. He pays his mortgage by providing and selling this application, and it's a good app. It's a very, very good app. You know, they're taking that away wholesale with not even telling him why it's doing something illegal. That's all he's got from them. That's not good enough. That's not good enough.
No one expects the Spanish Inquisition.
I got to say, I feel quite passionate about this because I know the bloke and he's a really good guy and he's doing nothing different from anyone else and they've not even told him what he's doing wrong.
This happens.
Comfy chair.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I mean, this happens to a lot of developers. I know a lot of developers who've had this happen, and they've had it happen on initial submit. They've had it happen on an update. You know, it's like almost to the point where a lot of them are even sometimes scared to push an update because they're like, oh, it's going to get reviewed again. And there's this one thing that's kind of, you know, in this area that could run afoul, maybe not run afoul. And yeah, I mean, it's a huge problem and you don't hear about it a lot. So it's great that you're bringing it up. But I wish I could say that, you know, his situation was unique, but it really isn't. This happens to
Got to change.
Yeah. Pocket, that's a bummer.
Pocket. Well, it hasn't changed for how many years have we been doing App Store approvals? I mean, this has been since the very beginning, unfortunately.
I don't mind an initial one. I've got no issue with turning down an app on its initial submission because there is a fault with it. That's okay, because that's what you do. You know, can I push this? No, because you need to make these changes. Okay, that's fine. Thank you very much. But when something's been up there for that long, it hasn't changed what it functionally does. You're probably only talking about minor changes to code just to get it to recognize something or whatever, or, you know, update GPS data. And Russ in the chat room here saying, I've used this for years. It's the best thing going. So there you go. Mm-hmm.
I see Camera Alert in the iTunes store right now.
Oh, there's loads of them in there. TomTom's got an in-app purchase for speed cameras, says Chris.
No, this is from Pocket GPS, though.
No, but it's being taken down.
I can download it here right now.
Well, that's good. I would hope that means that it's still up there. But the other day, they got less than a week, and it was going to be gone. So,
okay.
I got a notice
it was going.
Gotcha.
At the end of the day, really, what we really want is just Apple to take a lot of their sticks out of their asses. Really, that's just what we need.
Just be a bit more open. A bit more open.
I agree, though. I agree, and I think it is a lot of that has to do with somebody woke up on the wrong side of the bed. I don't like you today. Yeah,
that's a really shit British accent. Jesus
Christ. I don't really care. It's 12:28 here, so that's as good as it gets.
Apple
Midlands.
Apple.
What they do now?
Apple confirms suppliers do not use unethically sourced tantalum. What the hell is tantalum?
A wonderflonium.
Really?
Earth mineral.
Unobtainium.
I was going to say, isn't that what Dr. Horrible was trying to steal?
It's a friggin' made-up mineral. This is Johnny Ive marketing bullshit. our laptops are all made with tantalum. Yes, tantalum's
actually
very rare.
Restaurant in Long Beach, apparently.
Very, very rare source. And we get it from war-torn areas of Africa, but we don't, actually, although that's only the place it comes from.
Tantalum is a rare, hard, blue-gray, lustrous transition metal, highly corrosion-resistant, part of refractory metals group, which are widely used as minor components in alloys, Ewan.
See, I know it's rare because cool. I just friggin' made it up. No one ever heard of it, so therefore it's rare.
Valuable inert substance for laboratory equipment as a substitute for platinum.
Bronwyn's put a link into the Wikipedia article.
I love Wikipedia.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
I made that up off the top of my head. What are you talking about, Wikipedia?
Oh, it's on the periodic table! Oh, it's not bullshit.
Niobium either, do you?
No, it's not bullshit.
The atomic number 73 and it's on the periodic table. Holy crap! Between hafnium... Hafnium's got to be a made-up name. Hafnium can't be real.
You know, unobtainium is actually a real thing, too, that predated the movie.
Is it underneath it? Has it got holmium? Hafnium's held up by holmium. And holmium's better than whiteium, as in white bread. No, okay. I just thought it was a good story, because tantalum is clearly a bullshit substance. But it's not. Sorry. There we go. I should have done research, really, shouldn't I? Yeah.
There's a Californian, too, you know.
California.
It's like a condom. It does. I've been looking at the page there. It looks like a condom.
Tantalite looks like the raw material looks like an elephant turd.
How would you know? Do you keep one in the back garden?
On Wikipedia, there's a picture of the raw
material. Who the hell goes to it and then Wikipedia's afterwards elephant turds? wikipedia.org/elephant turds. Christ, that looks like the mineral I've just looked at.
We have a somewhat famous zoo down here, and there are elephants.
Windrider says, I'm off to bed because you're talking shit. Thanks, man.
Literally.
Analysts.
An element called unpentium.
Is that what they used to?
Put a pentium back in. To replace your AMD.
Pentium. I was waiting for the Pentium. analysts predict iAnywhere, OS 10 and iOS 10 iOS will combine to form a platform despite public dismissal by Apple. What do we reckon? Is it going to happen? Analyst Sybase Mark has the trademark Moskovitz
on that. So are they going to pull a 3Com? Was it 3Com that they stole the
Cisco
iPhone? Cisco, there you go.
So come on, then call it Truth or Bull. Truth or Bull. There's going to be a unified OS.
Bull.
Truth.
Truth. Shenanigans.
Bull. Tom, you got the casting vote, mate.
I think what this is the continual merging of features in OS X and iOS, right? You know, you can now get your notepad the same way, and iCloud is syncing things, and you have an app store, and they're mimicking. But I don't think in reality they want to make those the same actual operating system any more than Microsoft, which wants to have one Windows for everything, really is going to have the same kernel operating on a phone that they're going to have operating on a desktop. It's about features. And if you're talking that way, if you're like, hey, we're going to continue with the cloud to make your data available across platforms and you'll have similar apps available, then yeah, I think they are going to merge it. But what that means is not it's going to be one operating system.
There's where the whole thing fell apart, though, right? And anywhere, even if they are doing something to that degree, Tom said the key word in there, cloud, and that's Apple's huge Achilles heel, right? Or tendon or whatever it is. Right. It's like, yeah.
Has anyone really done cloud? Healed. No, I mean, that is the question. Has anyone ever really done cloud properly, apart from Evernote?
Apple should just pay Dropbox whatever the hell they want and buy the damn thing.
Dropbox is a file transfer system. It's not it's not a collaborative operating system.
Yeah, but it would be a huge step in, I mean, in my mind, that's the key to the whole seamless, I mean, in my world, seamless transitioning between desktop and tablet for me is just having access to my documents and my files and the things that I want. And, you know, they have the photo part of it. You could build a movie, movies part of it. So I don't know. I think it's kind of key to actually jumpstarting something that works and is seamless and useful.
That I agree with. I mean, when it comes to more flexibility there, to me, there's a lot more going on in Dropbox, or could be a lot more to expand on, a lot better than iShit. A lot better. Because I hate iCloud.
Nobody uses iCloud. Well, it doesn't work. It breaks. It messes things up. It's totally...
iCloud's fine if you want to just store a document that you might want to get to once a month to open an update and then put back. No, seriously. I've got my wife accesses the same document as me for accounts, just a spreadsheet for raising invoices. And I've got that on iCloud, and it's fantastic. It's great. She operates it. It works. I operate it. It works. But we access it twice a month. If we actually were in the document at the same time, holy shit, I think it would never manage.
Google Docs.
Yeah, Google Docs. But then, holy shit, Google Docs.
Honestly.
Wait, what did Tom say?
Office 365.
Oh, I have not tried that.
It's the only way you can get Office apps on your iOS devices.
Hmm. Boy, that sounded like a commercial.
does it work well? I don't know.
That was
the
big thing when it came out. When people started getting iPads, was what do I do with this if I can't put Office on it? And in the meantime, a lot of people have found ways around that. Pages, Numbers, Keynote. But a lot of people still are, for whatever reason, chained to Office. And this is Microsoft's solution for that. Is if you buy a subscription, so it's like Creative Cloud. But for Office, for Office 365, you pay yearly, and then a piece of that access is you get a bunch of space within SkyDrive, which they're renaming to OneDrive, and then you also get the access through your iPad and your iPhone.
If Microsoft would just get back to software and do Office for Android and iOS.
But they've just made
so much money.
They've just made the cloud guy, who hasn't made cloud really work at all properly anyway for Microsoft, the chief executive. What direction he's going to take, I wonder. Could be cloud. Could be.
Possibly cloud.
Could be cloud.
So that's why I'm intrigued by 360. Is 365 actually good? I mean, has anybody used it?
I use Google Docs more often, but when I do use Office 365, I'm always reminded, like, they're actually doing a good job with this.
No, I'm going to have to check it out then.
Oh, okay. That could be your pick of the week then, Tom.
Damn it.
Let's not go that far.
Damn, mate. Office 365. Try it once.
Says the guy with the Windows phone.
Office 365 is there, the Dr. Pepper. Office 365 is the Dr. Pepper of cloud systems.
Don't say that. I love Dr. Pepper.
No, I like Dr. Pepper too.
But that's the point, right? It's not the one everyone thinks of, but it's a fine option.
There we go. That's it. That's what the advert says.
So you mean RC is what you mean?
RC Cola.
Americans are feeling me. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, we have RC over here too. It's very popular here.
Me and my
RC. Only popular in Chinese restaurants.
Is there any Chinese restaurants in the Philippines?
Yeah, there's a hell of a lot of them.
No kidding.
Yeah. There's a hell of a lot of them. We even have a Chinatown here.
But yes, we do. Oh, well, I won't go into that because that's probably going to be wrong.
Please don't.
I won't. We've got a new sponsor. Fantastic. They are the Network Union. They're a fantastic bunch of blokes and girls. What they do is they help you out with your BT account. So if you're a BT business subscriber, Network Union can help you. Now, what they do is you sign up with these guys. Now, there's no change of contract or anything. Your relationship with BT is exactly the same. You stay in contact with them, you pay your money to BT, and that's that. But with Network Union, what they can do is check that you're getting the right service for what you pay for. You're getting the right service for what you want, that you're getting the most out of your BT service. They can talk about renegotiation rates for you and things like that if you need a change of service. All the time, you're still connected directly with BT. You are paying BT for the service. Network Union get nothing from it. It's not a commission or anything like that. But if you've got a wide area network or something like that, then these guys can help you with that. They can also help you, even if you're right down to a small SME, you've got the £55 a month business service that comes into your property. These guys will help you make sure that that is functioning correctly and is working for the best efficiency for your business. What are they doing for us? Well, they're helping us with bandwidth costs because, again, you know, we've got network, we've got UK2 who pick up the bandwidth on all of the servers and the posting of the shows and the iTunes stuff. But Network Union are providing all of our data in and out through the broadband provision into BTN Tower. So they sponsor the video side of it. And it's just another cost that's been removed from us. So they support us. Please support them. If you're a business of any size, really, go and talk to Network Union. Go to ourbritishtechnetwork.com, click on the sponsors link, look on their logo and click through there from there and have a chat with them what they can do to help you with your BT service. It's effectively a right-sizing, if you like, your BT service with them. You're still connected to BT, but Network Union will make sure that it functions perfectly for you and it's what you need. Check them out. They're brilliant. They're wonderful. And we've also got UK2, of course. They're brilliant. They look after all of the bandwidth on the servers. We've got a dedicated server that would cost us £400 a month if we didn't have the support of UK2. And they've got loads and loads of stuff for you as well. So you can get domains, you can get servers, you can get co-location services. There's everything available, VPS, VPN. It's up to you. Go and check them out, though, through the sponsors link on our page again, and there's loads of offer codes as well, so you'll save yourself a fortune. And a lot of people have been writing in and saying, oh, if I'd have gone a year ago, I'd have saved myself a grand or something like that. And it's serious, serious savings. So check out uk2.net, but do it through our site, and then they'll know that we sent you. And they keep supporting us, and they're going to be supporting us for the foreseeable future. We've extended indefinitely with them, so thank you very much to them, because we couldn't afford to run the network without people like Network Union and UK2 picking up some of the costs. Fantastic. Right. Have we got cool things? Adam, do you have a cool thing?
I do, actually. Something, it just showed up in the mail. These guys sent it to me, but I'm seriously probably going to buy two or three more of them. And it's a product called EverDock. I think it was a Kickstarter at one point, but it's one of these machined aluminum docks. And what I really like about it is, one, that it's compact and it's got some nice weight to it. But one of the keys is, in addition to the weight of the base, it also has that micro suction stuff on the bottom of it. So when you stick it to a desk or surface, it stays stuck. It is compatible with Android devices, with your iPhones, both 30-pin and Lightning connector, because it has one of these little pass-through cables. So you pass through your Lightning cable. It's got a nice little channel in the bottom that you can run the cable through, so it's nice and neat, and it stays on the desk. So when I need to grab my phone and go, I just pull it up and go. So, and it's just kind of floating there. I really like the design. And what I was stoked about is when I got it, I didn't realize they have a duo version that will take two devices.
Yeah.
So I can have my iPad and my iPhone in the same dock. And it's a little, you know, it's a little on the pricier side, but not as pricey as some of the other sort of machined aluminum docks that are out there. I think it's $49.99 for the one, or it might be $59. But then when you get the Duo, I think the Duo is only $69. And then they have like a two pack where you can get the dock plus a Duo dock for like $110.
That's US. Like £5 sterling at the moment.
Yeah, you guys get the advantage of the exchange rate,
dude. I need to buy my dollars before nice, too long.
Nice looking dock, and I think I want a few of them. So I'll probably go for the combo pack because I want a few in different places in the house where I can just dock in and go.
The girl that's on the video has never cut a carrot in her life. Too.
So you can get it matching. I think they have black, gold, space gray, and silver.
Oh, nice.
Dude, the girl, here we go, look. The girl that's cutting carrots, look, she's never cut a carrot in her entire life.
Oh.
That is an actress.
You.
I'm telling you, look, watch. Look. She's never cut a carrot in her damn life.
Anyway, It's a really nice, well-built dock, and I like just how clean and simple it is, and plus it just works.
Good. That's we like that kind Ever of stuff. It's really good.
I think it's Fuse Designs. It's the
Fuzzy. Fuzz without the second Z.
Fuzz?
Well, Fuzz would be two Zs, so Fuzz, Fuse.
Fuse.
FUZDesigns.com.
It's got the long U, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Good pick. Thank you, sir. Kyle, what do you have for us?
I have an app that actually ties in a little bit with our show today, and I was really highly going to recommend it, and it says now it's not available in the U.S. store.
Oh, what was it?
It's called Episodes. I downloaded it just the other day, and it helps you keep track of your favorite TV shows and things, and it actually has a Mac app for it, too, so you can stretch it all over your platforms, and everything stays in sync with what you watched or what's coming up or what's been renewed or, you know. So if you're a big TV show buff, you know, it's a great app. It's called Episodes, but for some reason it's not in the US store right now.
Well, I've just clicked on it. It's showing that it's available. Oh no, it's not available in the UK store either. It's been removed.
Shenanigans.
Oh man, but it's available. It says Mac App Store. Let's try Mac App Store.
Yeah, please do, because that's what I'm trying right now.
Oh, it's not in the Mac App Store either.
Uh-oh. Ran afoul.
So my pick was shit this week.
That's a non-pick.
That is a non-pick. I'm glad I downloaded it this week. It's a great app.
Following a spout of connectivity issues for existing users, we're hoping to make an announcement this week regarding the app's future.
Okay.
That's it. It's dead then.
Thanks, Twitter.
Well, it was $1.99. So if it comes back, it better be free.
Now it looks like it's maybe a UK developer.
Now it's priceless.
Yeah. It's like Flappy Bird.
Oh, God.
Except it worked. I was out with Charlotte Henry on Monday night at the London Mac User Group, and she had a go with Flappy. She was going on about Flappy Bird. So what's all this thing about Flappy Bird? I haven't had a go. And Chris turned over and he said, here, go. And he gave it on his phone. And she smashed into the first pipe like 8 times, couldn't get it through the first gap, and just gave it back. And what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Kelly, what's your cool thing?
A couple of notable things that I'll point out first is that today, 25 years ago today, the De La Soul album, Three Feet High and Rising, was released with the song Me, Myself, and I on it. So if you like old school hip hop, you should check that out because you can get it free from their site right now. They've set up a thing where you can sign up for their mailing list and you get all their music, which is wearedelasoul.com. Also, on this day, 155 years ago, my state became a state. So, yay us. And my actual pick is going to be something that you guys are totally going to laugh at me for, and I don't care. I got this, which is a little handset that you plug in, that you plug your phone into, and I got it. You can do Bluetooth if you want to, but I got it with the headphone jack. And so now I can have regular at length calls just by picking up the phone and holding it to my head, which is super awesome when you have to spend a significant amount of time on the phone. Because after a while, these aren't very comfortable. And this, when the phone is really, really narrow, also doesn't work very well. And so now I have an actual handset for my phone for when I'm sitting at my desk. And it's unbelievably handy. And it was like a $30 item. It was on my Amazon wish list and I got it for Christmas. So
excellent.
I actually have had a chance to try it out. And it's
what's
great.
The name of the product?
This one, there's a variety of these available. And the one that I have is from Swiss Voice, and it's called the E-Pure. And that's all I know about it. Corded handset. So there's a little sticker on the bottom.
I have this device. It's called the Taiwanese crap. It works, but...
Well, you can find a variety of them. Like, you can spend as much as you want to. There's ones that have, like, a micro USB cable hardwired in or a 30-pin cable hardwired in. Having a bunch of, not even a bunch, but having a number of things that are 30 pin hardwired that I can't really use anymore. I kind of avoided that, which is why I went with the headphone jack. And it also does come in a number of colors in case you guys hadn't noticed. I'm a little partial to orange, but, so that's why I got the orange one, but, there's like blue and green and black and you can get, you know, other styles as well. And for me, it's just really nice because when I'm sitting at my desk, I can plug my phone into it. And then if it rings, all I have to do is pick up the handset and I'm solid. And I really like being able to hold a phone because it's not very comfortable to hold a 4 or a 5. So that's why I like it. So that's my pick for today. It's pretty reasonably priced.
SwissVoice.net/EU/products.html. There you go.
Yeah, actually, it would be okay. This would actually be okay for people that don't have a landline or don't want a landline.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I could see the use for it.
Looks
like they have a landline to mobile bridge, too, if you're into that sort of thing.
I pushed really hard this week. I said to the wife, why don't we get rid of the house phones? We just don't need them. She said, well, my mum rings on the house phone.
So
that's what I'm saying. Why don't we get rid of the house phone? Your mother rings on it.
Well, set her up with
we just get number. Solicitors.
What ended up happening? Yeah, what ended up happening at my house was my cell phone would ring when someone called me, and then the only people that called the house were people from Mr. Kelly, which wasn't very often, and people who were mispronouncing our last name in and trying to sell something. I'd like to talk to Mrs.
Graphical user interface.
So there's a call to every phone salesperson in Oregon. If you can pronounce Kelly Gamont's surname properly, you've got a sale.
Well, not anymore because my phone's on the do not call list and we haven't had a landline for.
Trust me, that ain't going to stop them.
No, it doesn't. My phone's on there and we get them daily.
Really?
We get a lot of door-to-door solicitors too. I don't know what it is about my neighborhood, but people show up at the door. The time it's like
we get people here? We get church people come, we get Mormons and we get Jehovah's Witnesses come here, and my point to these
Mormons,
the omnipotent being has to sell door to door, and that usually gets me a dirty look and they leave, so I'm okay.
I have a friend that started telling people door to the religious people door to door that he worshipped Superman. And they would start to find fault with that. And he would say, tell me why the made-up guy in your book is any different than the made-up guy in my book. And then they would get mad and leave.
My favorite moment this week, I have to say, on the internet was I caught up with my copies of Bill Maher podcast. And Stephen Merchant calling Bill Maher a godless pothead was perfect. I belly laughed in the car while I was driving.
He is not wrong.
Tom, make that into a tagline.
God, I might have that made as a shirt for Macworld, godless pothead. Is it legal in California yet?
No.
Okay, maybe I won't then. I might wear it for the TSA.
Actually, right next door, both, well.
Me and my TSA boyfriend.
Kelly North and next door to us, East.
Well, medically speaking, Ewan needs it, so he might be able to get away with it. We allow medical marijuana.
What room are we starting here, Merritt?
I know a place right on Venice Boulevard.
You have glaucoma, right?
Well, I'll be with you on the Sunday.
Right next to the Italian. Chronic pain.
No, I get drug and alcohol tested every week, potentially, so I won't be going anywhere near it. You light up, I'm off. Mr. Merritt, what's your cool thing?
Well, I was going to mention the De La Soul thing, too, actually. That's a really cool opportunity. Although, apparently, people on Twitter are telling me that they put the files in Dropbox and they've exceeded their limit. So your mileage may vary at getting the files, at least till they figure that out. But I can't wait to get them. That was cool. So my pick is going to be, I can't show it to you because I'm using it right now, but I just got a Behringer ultra low latency USB audio interface. The reason I picked it up was because my headphone jack burnt out on the Mac Mini, and I needed a way to get audio out of the Mac Mini. So I bought this thing for £23. Well, I bought it for American dollars, but it's £23 on the Amazon UK website. It has RCA in and out. They're unbalanced, but still you've got, you know, a much nicer in and out than you would with just the mini jack. And you have a mini jack with a monitor so that you could like plug in headphones and keep an eye on what's going on. And I don't know, you were saying that the audio sounded pretty good. So
you sound great. Man. Well. Yeah. You sound absolutely fantastic. I tell you hot, but
hot,
not hot.
Hey, man, get out.
So you need me to turn myself down a little?
No, you're fine. If you turn it up a little bit more, you'd start to clip. But you're on 10, not 11. There we go.
Awesome. That's exactly where I want to be.
Yeah, too right. The Behringer U-Control UCA 222, is that the one?
202, yeah.
202, right, okay. Showing the wrong picture there then.
Maybe the 222 is just red because mine's gray.
Okay, maybe that's it. Good pick. What was the price again?
£23.
Oh, that's very good.
We like that. Looks like it's about $30 bucks US.
Yeah. No, that's got to be like $500 bucks US.
Actually, it was $30 US. I don't know why they're charging you more.
See, you're still getting a better deal than us, even when your currency sucks.
it's on sale right now.
My cool thing is this little black pouch. This is a Tough Tech Duo. Now, the reason I'm doing this is because the guy that sells these, Chris, I met up with him. He's given us this as a review unit, but he's also got a special offer for BTN listeners. In here... And it is rather tiny. We're only talking about the size of a large box of matches, you know, like the ones that your grandma used to have for like the fire with, you know, the long spill jobs. Mm-hmm. I can't think of anything else that it's the right sort of size to, but it's less than the size of a Bible that you get in a hotel room, that's for sure. in the size of there we go. What you've got is a little device that will take two 2.5 terabyte drives. I currently have two 1 terabyte SSDs in these, 960s.
Of course you do.
And it flies. It absolutely freaking flies. This one is the FireWire 800. And until last night, I've been plugging in the DC power supply. Until Chris pointed out, you don't need it with the FireWire 800 because it's bus powered. so there you go. This thing will go RAID 1 or RAID 0, and you put your two SSDs in, and it gives you something which is, as it suggests, prone to slight abuse or quite competent at dealing with slight abuse. And also, you can put in a mirrored system whereby you get redundancy. So you pop one out, you get another one in, and it'll rebuild the system. It's got SATA to USB on the outside, and you can get a USB 3 version as well from Chris, or the FireWire 800. The reason I'm plugging it last night on the big show and this night is that Chris has got a deal for BTN listeners up until the 28th of February. If you use the offer code BTNFEB14, so BTNFEB14, Chris will give you these instead of £279, he'll give it you for £234. So that's a significant saving. Wow. And it's chno.co.uk/shop. So CHNO, Charlie, Hotel November Oscar.co.uk/shop. And Chris will give you a massive discount on it if you put in BTNFEB14 as the offer code. And I've got to say, I've been using this now for 3 days. He ain't getting it back. I might have to send him some money. Jesus. Tough Tech Duo, that's the thing. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And it's half the size of what I normally carry around as a 3 terabyte drive. And I don't need 3, I only need 2. So being a bit of a fool. Where can we get a hold of you, Adam?
You'll find me over at the MacCast, MacCast.com. Also, MacCast on Twitter, Facebook is the MacCast. Let's see what else. We have Communicators with Jeff Gamet and Michael Johnston is the iOS related show.
Excellent. Well done, mate. Mr. Swagger.
You can find me on Twitter. That's the easiest place to get Kyle Swagger. Also, can I have a really redemption pick quite quick?
Go on. Redemption.
Yes, redemption pick. Here's one called Episodes with an exclamation point. Go get it at the App Store. It's free or give them 99 cents. As far as the episodes at, go screw yourself, you bastards. So got my $2 and then you go
away. But you still
got
the app, though, right?
I'm tweeting them later. I'm going to do it right now.
See, he's upset he paid for something, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes. See, that's
I'm upset I paid $2 or something, and they got, and I don't know if we're going to come back or not. You know, hey, we got your $2 now. Bye-bye. See you later.
So it's a Mexican developer then.
That's exactly right.
If any of you have got any complaints that you'd like to send to Kyle, it's at Kyle Swagger on Gmail.
I'm going to give a crap where they're from, you bastards.
Looked like they were actually a UK developer. FYI.
Damn those Mexican developers.
Well, you bloody bastards, you.
it's just like the Alamo. Chris is pointing out in the chat room, the guy that's giving you the Tough Tech Duo. Don't forget, 28th. It expires on the 28th, so but you can get that fantastic price until the 28th. Kelly, where are you, Mrs.?
Okay, you can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso. And just in case anybody's having trouble picking up De La Soul albums for nothing, for $2.99 in the App Store, you can get a really awesome calculator app called Numerical, and it's by Andrew J. Clark. And it's a really fantastic calculator. I don't have a lot of need for a calculator, but when I do, I'm totally using this. So there you go.
Excellent. And Tom, where are you, sir?
I'm still keeping my fingers crossed that the De La Soul Dropbox situation will be resolved, because I want those and I haven't done
them yet. Oh, me too.
You can find me at tommerritt.com, M-E-R-R-I-T-T, tommerritt.com. And I do a daily tech news show. Ewan's been on.
I
just started it January 2nd. So it's still finding its feet, but you can find it at dailytechnewsshow.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. We'll be back again next week as normal, 3:30 on Friday. Be here. Or don't be somewhere else then. Fair enough. And Batwinch says, if you've got any rages about tech, send them to her. And I think it might be worth doing, because the Rage Show is making a return, perhaps under the auspices of Batwench. That could be well worth it. It's going to be like Marmite. You're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. So, anyway. See you next week. Thanks for listening.